Relieve me of my throat.
It's gone.
I always thought it was weird how cough drops, they'd say throat relief.
Yeah, like it's not
throat soreness relief or pain, throat pain relief.
No, it's you are totally relieved of your throat.
Right.
Your whole throat.
And it says the same thing on,
like Cepacol or
anything. Chest relief. I've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Chest
relief. Relieve yourself of your chest.
And eye and nose relief. Lip relief.
Lip. Yeah. Lip relief.
Lip.
Lip.
Lip. Lip. Lip. Chapstick. Lip balm.
Takes me back to the fuck's that show? The one with... There was a character named
King of Queens.
No. It's like Detestable or something like that. What's the fucking...
Oh, yeah. Unforgivable.
It's, I can't remember the word.
Yeah. The mustache.
Unwarranted or something.
William H. Macy.
Yeah. I just watched it last year. And I can't remember the
William
name.
William H. Mustache.
Despicable. I don't know.
Undependable. Detestable, despicable.
I don't know. It's driving me insane.
It's such a basic ass adjective, whatever right? It is.
And it's all similar to those.
Terrible. Terrible space program.
Shameless.
Oh.
There was just a character named Lip. That's that. The whole reason we got there.
What's up, Lip? Lip. Relieve my lip.
I'm an antisocial warrior, on the verge of catatonia, in a digital utopia, place a waypoint on euphoria, it's a never-ending battle, me versus death and scrabble, voluntary disconnection of truth from fiction, seen the simulated future and the graphics are bitchin'.
Yeah. Okay, we're going.
Yeah, okay, yeah, well, this is...
Here we go!
I'm Brett, welcome to Good Graphics.
I'm Curtis, I don't care.
So... Big!
It's the end of the year.
The big one.
So, it's the moment you all been waiting for. I know.
And I finally played games.
Yeah, you got a big old monolith.
I got a big old building in my bedroom.
You got a brand new building.
Finally got that PS5.
Ugly fucking building.
It looks like a piece of Mirror's Edge concept art.
Except Mirror's Edge, it would be shiny at least. This shit
true,
ain't even
there'd
shiny.
Be glass on it.
This shit just looks... It's
there'd
just,
also be all kinds of red accents.
Yeah, it looks like a some kind of a modern art piece and like a memorial bridge or some shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or like a sculpture someone fucked up.
Yeah, a big one.
Like it was on a spinning wheel and they just like planted their hand on it wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's good. It's like that. It's like bad pottery.
But it's pretty fucking sweet.
It go fast.
It go.
Go big. Definitely
so
go.
I've been playing tons of shit late in the year.
Mm. So we're just going to give our opinions.
Yeah.
The best games of the year.
Best I played at the very least, because
I have it narrowed down. I have a top two.
Same.
And then a bunch, and then like a handful of others.
Yep. That's my two are like the only hard numbers.
Hard. Should we just give our top two and then talk about them? Or you want to just go back and forth?
Did you want to start with like honorable mentions? Or did you want to just go right from the top?
I don't care. What do you want to do? Started from the bottom. Now I'm here. Let's start from the end. The secondary tier.
Oh yeah.
Well, I just realized that there's no sense in starting from the bottom because it's not really like any equal sort of number. So
it's saying we don't have a an order.
No, not per se. So I'll start with just my runner up. My runner up. Is God of War Ragnarok.
Is that number two or is that one of the top two? Do you have those in order?
Yeah.
So this is...
That's like my
you
second.
Have a one, a two, and then
a
nut shot.
Puddle, yeah.
Buckshot is what I meant. Buckshot.
Right.
Or a nut shot.
So yeah, God of War Ragnarok is mm-hmm. my number two, which mm-hmm. I mentioned last time I had been playing on the PS4.
So there's a big dad,
big.
He's mad.
Strong. Kind of, he's really old when you think about it, because he's like 300 and something years
old. He's so mad. Yeah, and he's so mad that you don't even see it anymore. You just, it's just like, it's just normal for him.
Right. But he's mellowed, you know, so he gets
on the outside. He's furious on the inside.
All the time.
He's surpassed like all human emotion and
furious is baseline.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
But yeah, now I'm playing it on the PS5, and it looked nice.
Yeah?
It looked very nice. It doesn't have ray tracing or any of that fancy stuff, so I wasn't missing that on the PS4, but just the higher resolution and frame rate and textures and stuff, it looks real good.
Hot.
Still haven't finished it, but I will. I'm like three quarters probably,
mm-hmm.
if I had to guess.
Yeah.
And it's good. I will say, there are certain parts of it that I think are better than the last game.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't necessarily say it's consistently better than the first one or the last one. Like, it's got some really good, like, peak highs, but it's a little more uneven, I'd say.
Okay.
But it's awesome. It's all awesome. It's just that the way they tell the story this time feels a little bit more disjointed because you're jumping from character to character. They're no longer together.
Oh, yeah.
For most of the game. Right. I wouldn't call it a spoiler. It happens in, like, the first 10 hours.
First 10 hours? That's still a spoiler.
Well, I'm saying within, like, before. It's a 40-hour game, so I would say it's, like, within the first couple chapters that it first happens.
Okay.
And I suppose that also depends if you jump right into the story, it happens much sooner, because I was doing side shit.
Oh.
So it's hard to say, but not a spoiler. Boy goes off on his own.
Right. Fuck that boy. I hate that boy. I hate his faux hawk.
Yeah, he's still got that.
Yeah.
That faux hawk.
Yeah.
He started it.
He looks like a little rat prick, and he acts like a little rat prick in the first game.
He looks like he's in a MXPX cover band.
No. Like, well, maybe I could kind of see that. I would think more like a Simple Plan.
Yes. Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, hopefully he gets dead.
I don't suspect that'll happen.
I know. Wishful thinking.
Really improved combat as well over the first one. So
you got brand new weapons?
There is. I mean, you start with the axe and the blades this time. You had to get the blades in the last one.
Oh, yeah.
So there is a third weapon. The
Blades of Chaos.
And it's a pretty awesome weapon. You get it much later in the game. I don't know is a weapon considered a spoiler?
I'd say so. Okay. Yeah.
Then I won't go into detail.
In this game,
it's,
at least.
It's fucking cool, though. Like, the ability that it grants you. But yes, otherwise, it's just a really good game. Like, it's like when you think of a epic action game, like it hits those marks.
Game. Yeah. Like, yeah. That last one was real good. Yeah. So I'll play that one eventually. Well, one of my top two, they're
kind of equal playing field.
Maybe not. They're close, I guess, but they're just so different. It's hard to compare.
Okay.
But the first one, I've already talked about, so there's nothing, and there's not much to say anyway. It's Saints Row.
Oh, right.
Such that I've played fucking forever, and I still play it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's fun. Like, it's just fun. It's just fun, and there's always, there's like a good end game that's, you know, fun in an arcadey way. Like, it just keeps going, so.
Oh, that's right. You said you were building like a skyscraper or something?
Yeah. So, like, I finished the story a long time ago, but there's still like,
it just has stuff to do.
Stuff to, yeah. Something to unlock and ship.
Nice.
And the technical side of things got much better recently, too, because there's a major patch and, like, the AI has improved and stuff. So it's come a long way. And I loved it to begin with. I thought it was awesome. But did have some technical issues. But now it's solid. So if you're into Saints Row games, or that style of game.
Just any sort of open world.
It's just like a sandbox game. It's just so fun. It's just fun. And I talked about it a lot more last episode. So here we are.
And my pick, which you already know what it is, and I don't really have to, we did a whole fucking episode on it when it came out. Elden Ring. I mean, it's, you already knew that.
I figured, yeah.
And I still haven't finished the final boss. I'm still there. And I just stopped playing because I got frustrated. But I didn't play any other game for as long or as constant as I this year as I did that one. It just had me hooked all the way to the end because it had the magical little aspect of I just wanted to know what was over the next hill kind of thing. Or it was like
if they were
different enough.
If there were maidens.
Right. But no, just the environment varied and felt unique enough that it was always something neat to see, as opposed to, you know, how some open worlds are kind of samey.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, here's all forest. Not a whole lot of different unique aspects.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Like it had that mystique.
Yeah.
But yeah, number one from me.
Number one in shit.
I know you turned hard on it after it came out.
I hate it.
But I know you have something that is much more
better
recent. And much I do want to play. Better. I do want to play this.
Marvel's Midnight Suns.
Hell yeah!
It's one of my favorite games.
Just ever.
Ever.
Wow. Yeah,
like instantly. Instantly, I've thought that, but I've...
Well, you were a huge XCOM fan, so that, yeah, even though it's pretty different, I mean, it makes sense that it would appeal.
There's some similarities, but it's... Well, first of all, it's like XCOM meets Mass Effect.
Yeah, I got that vibe.
Because of all the, like, interwoven character relationships and shit, and the choices that you make and all that stuff, and you're kind of, like, assembling a team.
Yep. I always do like that kind of element where you go around recruiting people.
Yeah. And then the combat is turn-based like XCOM, but very different otherwise. And I'll get to that in a second. But first of all, it's like a straight up third person RPG.
Right.
On the outside. And then it's structured so that you go on these missions, and then the missions is where the combat is. And basically, there's like an overworld zone that's called the Abbey, and that's where your base
is. It's like the mansion thing?
Yeah, it's the mansion. It's in Salem, Massachusetts, due to witch.
I did not even realize that.
Yeah, due to witch.
Because witch.
Because of witch. and... That's where you build the team and stuff, and then you have like all these upgrades you can do there, and you can manage all your different people and have them train, and
you can go fishing.
Yeah, well, that's another part. I'll get to that in a second. And you manage like items and stuff. Like you can research new stuff, new upgrades, and then you can craft things like usable items for when you're in combat.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like all the stuff in the anthill mode on XCOM. So XCOM, it would just be back and forth, like building your base and then fighting.
Right.
This is like is different, but it has like a main base that affects what you do there, affects everything you do when you're fighting.
It's more integrated, I guess.
Yeah. Then also, while you're on the Abbey grounds, there's a full-blown RPG going on and, like, hidden shit, different areas, because it's the whole Abbey grounds, and it goes, like, underground, and, like, there's all kinds of, like, it's a big map.
Hmm.
And
I thought it was just the mansion. I didn't know there was that much more to it.
No, and you go through, and, like, there's backstory everywhere. There's just tons of it. And I'll get to the storyline in a minute, but... There's stuff to like unlock and do and puzzle, like tons of puzzles to solve and shit. And you don't have to do any of this if you don't want to. The main story is like you could just play the day by day story and not participate in any of that stuff, which I don't know why you would do that, but you could in theory.
It seems like it's a major enough part of the game that it's just as important. Like if you didn't do it.
Yeah. So it's got like a social simulation built in to a tactical turn-based RPG. It's
definitely unique.
Yeah, and also it's a daily cycle, so it goes day by day, and then each day you do, you know, one mission. You could do one hangout.
Not real world day, right?
Right, no.
So it's not like an Animal Crossing day thing where it's like you have
these events
that take place today and only today kind of thing.
You sleep and it resets everything, yeah. So the other thing that happens most days is there will be like a club, a meeting. So there are different clubs that you can join.
Huh.
And you can just ignore them, or you can do all of them. I'm just doing all of them. But basically, like, the other characters will have their own clubs that meet certain days a week. And then, like, once a week, you go to that club in game week, you go to that club and, like, talk about a book or something. Like, there's a book club.
Do you actually have to read?
Between the days, like throughout the week, for book club is a good example, that there will be a one of the members picks a book and suggests that everybody reads it, and then you can go to the library and there's like an excerpt from that book
that, yeah, and you just read it. Figured it wouldn't have you read the whole thing.
You can just read it, and then you go back and talk about it the next week. And then these things unlock different, like, relationship paths and new, you know, buffs and stuff like that for combat. And it's so intricate and in depth. It's incredible. And, the combat is basically, you'll have like five or six different possible missions that you can take. And like one of them will be a story mission and the others are side missions that you can do. But you just do one of them a day. So you could just keep doing side missions and then not progress the story, like, at all, but still just, like, level up and level up your people and get new shit. And then there's also, like, puzzle challenges and stuff, specific battles that you can do that are, like, you know, 12 of the same enemy. And you have to beat them in four turns or something like that.
Oh, so there are parameters and
things like that. And you can use that to level up your characters too. And then, when you go out to a different mission, then you go into a portal, and the portal spits you out wherever the storyline needs to be or whatever.
Always like a portal.
Yeah. And then you do a fight, which is just, it goes right into the fight. There's no cover like in XCOM or anything like that, because it's all, you know, it's more fast paced and it has a card system. So the cards that you play, there are the all the actions that you have and all the skills, those are on cards that you collect to build a deck for each character. So each character has like five cards, you know, they can have a whole deck, but they have like five in a hand that they pick. That you pick before you go into the mission.
Oh, so it's not random.
It's random among those that you pick.
I see.
So you pick a bunch of them, and you have like that many, and they'll recycle them and stuff if it comes to it. But so you're basically choosing a loadout that's totally different depending on each character.
Yeah.
And then you can level up those individual cards and unlock new ones and all that stuff from the Abbey.
The Downton one?
Yeah. This is Upton Abbey.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Cheaper.
Oh, wow, I wonder if there's a connection there. Like, if that's...
Wait, is that actually what it's called? In the game?
No.
Oh.
Just in real life. Like, I've heard Upton before. Upton, Uptown, Downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Downton, not Downtown. Downton, Upton.
Upton.
Is that just a name? I don't care. The combat is turn-based. You pick the card you want to play and who you want to do it on. And then they do it, and it hurts them and stuff.
I'm gonna do on you.
I'm gonna do on you. I'm gonna break your defense. And so they have like their own stats, each enemy and stuff. And some of them will have cards, so you can like knock them out and get a new card that way.
Oh, nice.
And then there's all these other little details, like you can take screenshots. And you can also, like, you can have a photo mode, screenshots, but then you have, like, a photo booth, so you can, like, pose stuff and create comic book cover art.
That's cool.
With the different characters and, like, set them up with different designs and filters and effects and shit. And then those, or just the regular screenshots that you take in the game and stuff, will be available to, you can convert them into paintings. And then decorate the Abbey with them. And the Abbey you can upgrade all the time. All the characters have fully upgradable cosmetics. I don't know. I could go on about that forever, but I've got to talk about the storyline side of things and the fact that it's a Marvel game, which is weird. It's a weird combo. Like,
yeah, it seems like they were allowed to take more risks than you would expect.
Right.
For something of, for a property of that size.
Yeah. And so, like, I don't know. I didn't really know anything about the Midnight Suns in Marvel lore.
I honestly thought it was made as, like, a new idea for the game. I thought it was just the Midnight Suns was the name of the game.
Yeah, no, I know. I didn't, and there was a, it started with a story arc that was in, like, the early 90s.
Hmm.
And it was Midnight Suns, S-O-N-S.
Right.
The game is S-U-N-S. But it's the same
concept. Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't know much about them. I know some of the characters and stuff, obviously, but I didn't know that whole arc. But it's the side of Marvel that's like way cooler. That's a lot more like DC, which is why I like it better. Darker. It's darker. Yeah.
Like Vertigo DC or still like standard DC comics?
Kind of both, but just darker.
Or is Vertigo DC?
Vertigo is an imprint
of DC.
Yeah,
right. Does Marvel have one?
They do for their mommy daddy stuff.
Mommy daddy stuff.
The grown up stuff. The more mature stuff.
Right. I'm just okay. Because isn't that what Vertigo is for?
I think that's DC? What it used to be. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mommy daddy stuff. It made it sound like it was like porn. Like.
Oh yeah. I mean, maybe some of it.
Marvel porn.
Maybe
officially licensed.
Yeah. So initially when they announced this game, I was like, okay, but like why Marvel?
Intriguing, but yeah, it was strange.
And what it would be way better if it were DC or something. But it turns out these are actually much more interesting because they're a lot more, they're like the edgier side of things and like the
goths and the alt kids.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Except the Avengers are still in it.
Right. That's a cool dynamic. So like they're the younger ones.
Yeah.
Who are the Midnight like the Suns.
Up and comers.
Yeah. And then there are the Avengers and they're kind of.
The boomers.
The boomer. Exactly. That's exactly right. Like totally. And the caretaker is sort of like who you're replacing as the hunter, the main character, which I'll talk about all that in a second. But like that's kind of. What you're doing for the Midnight Suns, she's been doing for the Avengers. But the storylines are so much cooler. The writing, I've heard people complain about.
Really?
But I've also heard people praise. And I think it's fantastic. It's.
I was assuming they try to keep it similar to the comics, maybe.
It is. That's what it is. And then when it's spoken out loud, comic book writing doesn't sound natural necessarily.
Right. It's much more direct and to the point.
I hate to bring up Joss Whedon. But like, that's what made his writing style good, you know, like in Buffy and stuff like that. And in Firefly, it's comic booky and like very, you know, I don't know what the word is, but younger and hipper.
Yeah, I get you.
You know what I'm saying? Quirky.
Quirky.
Kind of. I don't know what it is, but it's comic booky.
Yeah, yeah.
And it translates perfectly fine for me, but I think that's why some people are like, oh, it's written weird, but it's not.
If they aren't familiar with actually reading comics or something.
Right. All the dialogue is like well recorded for the most part. Like they have some insane number of dialogue lines that were recorded. Like most games, this would just be a lot of this would be text.
Yeah. I was kind of assuming it was.
It's all acted.
Wow.
It's crazy. And the voice cast is pretty good too. Michael Jai White, who's Black Dynamite, is the voice.
Oh, right.
He does the voice of Blade.
That rules.
Yeah.
Man, imagine a Black Dynamite game.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Even if it was just a little one, little game.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And I think it's the same Spider-Man voice as the Marvel Spider-Man game.
Oh, I like that.
Which is interesting.
The voice actor in that was good.
Yeah. And Nico. Who's like the
Nico Belli.
She's like the goth witch one. She's from The Runaways.
Oh, right.
That's the voice of the actress who played her on the show The Runaways, which I never saw, but
I watched most of it and it was pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah.
There's a velociraptor.
But yeah, the storyline is very occult and
dark
and eldritch. Which is another one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
roll that into this ball. And then there's like vampires. And so the story is basically Hydra, the basically Marvel Nazis.
Yeah, yeah. Red Skull.
Yeah, they are resurrecting Lilith, who's like the mother of demons.
Yeah.
And she's like this weird snake lady. And she has all these demon dogs that are called Lilin. And
I think it would be funny if they were just also called Lilith.
Yeah. This is my dog, I named Lilith.
Imagine naming your pet after yourself.
Yeah, that's like what a kid would do.
It's George Foreman would do.
George Foreman?
Aren't all his kids named George?
Oh, I think you're right.
That's so named weird. Every single one of them George? Imagine, he's got a whole litter of Georges.
That's so fucked up.
No, like...
Anyway, Hydra, they bring back Lilith. 6 months later, there's a star called the Midnight Sun that's approaching the Earth and destabilizing the magic of Earth, all the magic. And
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, and heralding the return of Lilith's master, C'thon, who's...
Is that the Cthulhu stand-in?
Yeah, an elder god, and is basically the daddy of every evil thing. Every evil entity, like the devil and Hades and shit throughout...
Oh, like all throughout the eons lore and lore. Yeah, yeah.
All came from him. And so Lilith is trying to bring him back or summon him or some shit to take over the world. And Hydra, of course, is like her army, too. She can also like brainwash anybody. So like some of the heroes that aren't part of your group are like evil versions of like or like extra evil Sabretooth and Venom.
Oh.
And Hulk and stuff. Hulk is not quite right. No spoilers. But yeah, it's like a legitimately good story. And then basically Lilith's sister, who's caretaker, decides to resurrect Lilith's daughter, who is the one who killed her initially.
Oh.
Back in the times of the knights or whatever. And that's your character, the hunter. So you wake up.
And then you create your own character.
Right. And yeah. you've been woken up to, defeat your mom again. And yeah, then you're going out throughout the Abbey. There's all this ability gating and stuff. You unlock these special powers from just exploring and doing puzzles and stuff that will open up new parts of the map. Oh, I didn't mention the hangouts.
Right, that's like when you go fishing, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's like when you go fishing. Each day you can pick like a character to hang out with, and you can pick a different location to go to, which you unlock, as you explore. So then you get new things to do with the different characters, and then you get like a full cutscene of dialogue between the two of them, and then you have an opportunity to give them a gift too. So all these things can alter your relationship with them and how they're going to perform and level up throughout the game. And there's also a light and dark balance system too. Yeah. And if you do a lot of bad things or do a lot of good things, then you'll be better at certain abilities that you get through.
So
the
like
cards.
You want to throw rocks in someone's sand in their eyes.
Sure.
Or like do a dirty trick.
Yeah. If you want to do a dirty trick,
you'd be a dark one.
Right. You get dark cards. You get better. You'd be better at doing dark cards. Yeah, I think that's about it. Oh, you want to hear the roster?
Oh, yeah.
We got Iron Man, Captain America, Wolverine, Spider-Man, Scarlet Witch, Doctor Strange, Captain Marvel, Blade, Ghost Rider, Magic, Hulk. Magic is awesome. She's like a European like metal witch who can like...
Oh, that's cool.
I think she was stuck in the ether for like hundreds of years or some shit. And she like was wearing like a black metal shirt and stuff. This is the other thing. There's a lot of like references in the dialogue and things to like modern pop culture and stuff.
Yeah.
like they reference The Room in it, and it's crazy.
That's random.
But yeah, then you got Hulk, you got Nico, and then there's DLC coming out with Deadpool, Venom, Storm, and Mobius.
Mobius.
Morbius.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's all. That's all I got about that. Oh, one other thing. In the turn-based combat, something else that's kind of unique about it is that there's a lot of environmental shit going on. And like a lot of your attacks will cause knockback, and you can direct those enemies to like knock them into other enemies or like into a hole in the ground that one of your guys can set up. So there's a lot of like teamwork going on and like strategizing that way.
Oh, right on.
But yeah, the environmental attacks and stuff are fucking cool. So that was the last thing. Okay.
Nice.
What do you got?
Well, since I got the PS5, I went on a bit of a spree. Mm-hmm. First of all, signed up for the Plus library thing, which had a lot of the games I was looking to play that I couldn't previously. So it had a whole bunch of stuff that I was kind of dipping in and out of. But I also sold my PS4 since I didn't need it anymore. And then I decided I didn't need my Switch either because I haven't turned it on since February. And the only game announced for next year that I even care about is the new Zelda. And I just figure that I can wait to play that on whatever the successor to the Switch is at that point. Cause I don't know, my system, the joysticks had stick drift anyway. So it pissed me off, but thankfully for whatever reason, when they tested it at the store, it worked fine for like a minute, just long enough. So I got the full value for it. So I ended up with close to $300 in store credit. So I bought like a shit ton of fucking games. So I've got a massive stack to play through throughout the early parts of the year. But Callisto Protocol, which I just finished, gets my vote for best graphics. And also I really enjoyed it. Like that was what I would have probably had at number three.
Yeah.
Of course, from the Dead Space creator. So there's a lot of similarities in presentation and art style and certain stuff. But gameplay is not entire because it's more melee, whereas Dead Space was almost entirely guns.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of people think it's just exactly like Dead Space, but with like, you know, swap it's the really, characters.
Yeah, it's not.
It doesn't play a whole lot like it. It just kind of looks like it.
Right.
And of course, like just the style of it and how brutal it is.
Yeah.
But best graphics I've probably ever seen for character models.
They're like up there.
Damn near photorealistic.
Yeah, they're pretty. It's pretty.
I know it didn't get bad reviews, you know, in the aggregate overall, but it got a little bit more flack, maybe because of the PC issues.
Yeah.
And I know you're playing it currently as well.
Yeah.
And did you have the same issues or was it just the ray tracing?
I just had that's the one that I've had is the ray tracing.
And you said that's not the one that people were widespread reporting, right?
It's one of them.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, but the other stuff has been patched pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, it crashes when you have ray tracing on, but it's fine. It looks awesome without it. But and I love it so far.
Yeah.
Except
I know you had some issues with
one thing.
Yeah.
No map. No map.
And it could benefit from one, no doubt. Like,
everything should have a map. Everything.
Well, I mean, some games don't necessarily need it, but this one could use one.
NASCAR games have a map.
That's true. They do, don't they?
Yeah.
It's just a circle.
Yeah.
Well, that's so you know where you're placed in the field.
Either way, there's no excuse because you don't have to look at it. Just put it in the start menu, so it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
No, I agree.
Encroach on the precious screen space that this guy hates HUDs.
Yeah, because Dead Space was pretty minimal as well.
It was minimal.
I can't recall if that game had a map. It's been so long since I played it.
It had a map.
Did it?
Oh yeah. No map. I like half the time I've spent playing the game is me being lost and just like walking around in circles. It's fucking annoying. It's stupid because the game is awesome and I just want to fuck up some aliens, but I can't.
But I didn't have as much trouble.
I know. Lucky you.
So it's like a lot of it's environmental direction.
Well, you want a fucking cookie or something?
No, but I'm just saying.
You're better than me?
No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that, like,
bad at it in general. But if I weren't as bad at it as I am, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. But I made it through in like 9 hours. So mm-hmm. It's not a super long game.
It'll take me 15.
But, another thing about the combat that I like is that as opposed to doing like timed parries or like having to be super precise about dodging,
mm-hmm.
they handle it by either holding left or right with the joystick. And as long as you're holding in that direction before the hit lands, you're going to dodge it.
Yeah.
So you have plenty of time and you can hold it that way early enough because you can see the body language of the enemy and which direction they're going to come at you with.
Right. Except for those head guys.
Well, those you can't avoid.
You can't avoid those fucking head guys.
Those are just supposed to make you go,
oh. I hate those head guys.
It's like a nasty ass head on an umbilical cord that shoots out of a
nutsack.
Giant. But it's like a nutsack and a vagina in one.
Yeah, it's a bussy.
It's that's what they
that's
mean.
That's what a bussy is. yeah.
Yeah, those you can't avoid. They're just
the head just shoots out at you from across the room.
Bites you right in the face.
Bites you in the face neck area. I hate those guys.
Yeah.
Because even sometimes it's like really dark. You can't see them at all. And then just out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking freaks.
I hate, because of course, being a survival horror, sometimes you may find yourself hard up for resources if you're.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't think ahead or whatever. And so when you see one of those crates that's good size and it's got like the blue markings on it with lights and you're like, oh, hell yeah, there's going to be like 3, 4, 5 things in there.
Yeah.
And you open it and a fucking bug flies out and it sticks to your face. Fuck them.
That hasn't happened to me yet.
Oh, shit. The little slugs?
Oh, I've had some little slug guys.
They're like on the floor?
Yeah.
Those will come out of the chest sometimes. And it's the most deflating thing when you're like, I have no health after the large encounter and I don't know where
I'm
going.
And there's still nothing in the chest?
There's nothing in it. And it pissed me off so much. I'm so like, it's fucking bitch.
Like it's a mimic, basically.
Oh, yeah. But there's not like another real one around the corner. Like it's just here's a fake chest that you knew you needed items for. So you open it thinking it's going to be in there. And we just took a little more health from you instead.
Yeah. I kind of like that.
It's a dick move, but it,
it fits.
It fits. There was one other thing. Oh, just how brutal the
animations.
Animations are. Like Dead Space was known for that. So that's this guy's kink.
Yeah. He's a gore hound.
Yeah. And I can't get over how detailed and like it's almost repulsive. when his head gets cut in half and you see like the layers of meat and bone and his brain and like
tongue
and teeth.
Yeah.
It's gnarly.
Yeah.
It's gross. Fucking gross. But it's also awesome.
Yeah. I do notice that. Some of them play a lot. Like you see the same death animations.
If it's the same enemy type, yeah, they do. There is only a certain amount for each one, but
yeah.
Each enemy does have several different ways to kill you.
Right.
There was one that was unbelievably like over the top, and it went on for a long time. So it was one of the ones where I think it was maybe the only death animation. It was a boss kind of encounter,
mm-hmm.
and he would grab the top and bottom, like legs and body. And then twist.
Oh, God.
And then push and break your legs one way and then break them the other way, like you're a corn husk or something. Oh. And then he'd bend them up into you, like basically turn you into a ball and just like spike you into the ground.
Oh,
but it's just like the bone snapping. It was brutal.
That sounds brutal. Pretty sweet.
But I loved that game overall. And it was the best graphics that I saw personally this year.
Yeah.
Better than God of War. I haven't gotten to Horizon yet. I bought it, but I haven't played Forbidden West, and that looks drippy. Like, it looks insanely good. So
yeah.
I'm excited to pop that in once I clear some other things out of the list.
I'd put Dying Light 2 graphics up there, too, especially the environments.
Yes, and it's huge.
Yeah.
And that's one that I've been playing on the PS5.
That's on my list.
Yeah, too. Yeah. It's also on mine. I didn't get that far yet because you gave it to me for Quimbo, so I've only had it for like a week. But I've really liked what I played, and of course you talked about it before and all the ways of the combat and everything. So
the ways of the combat.
the ways of the combat. But it, yeah, I know it looks even better on PC, but on PS5, it looks fantastic with the ray tracing mode on.
Yeah.
And that's the sacrifice is that on, I don't know about PC, it's probably depending on your rig at that point, but if you turn on quality mode on PS5, it instantly caps the frame rate lower.
Yeah.
I don't know if it caps it at 30 or if it can go above it, but it stays stable. So I'm guessing it goes to 30.
Yeah.
And it drops the resolution from 4K to something weird, if I recall. It was like
1900p.
Yeah. But it looks really good. I wouldn't know the difference. And
yeah, nobody would.
When I turned it on and off, like I'd seen comparisons online, but going into the menu and actually doing it myself when I was standing in like a field of like tall grass, it was night and day.
Yeah.
Like night and day difference in terms of the realism of it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's worth the frame rate drop in certain games, and that's one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know what on PC, it's got like the SSAO stuff and...
Yeah, there's a lot of ray tracing options and just a lot of options in general, and it looks fucking wild. Wild. What's next on...
It must be mentioned, even though we've talked about it before, Vampire Survivors is probably my favorite small budget, like little indie game of the year.
That's on my list.
Yeah, games. Same. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I played way too much of it. I played that more than most games this year, other than Elden Ring.
It was up there for me, but I played a lot of my next game on this list, which is Power Wash Simulator.
Oh, yes.
Because that technically...
I forgot that was this year.
Well, yeah, it came out of Early Access or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
It was this year for consoles.
Yes, yeah.
I just thought it was last year for some reason.
It was awesome.
I played a good chunk of that, too.
It was awesome. I want more of that shit.
I'm surprised they haven't done DLC.
Like, I know. It's bullshit.
I think that if they went wacky with it, it would be even better if you were like...
They do in the game. Like they could do anything. It would fit in fine.
Well, I'm like, in terms of environments, it's all still on Earth, right?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought it was.
No.
You go to outer space?
Mars.
Oh, wow.
You do a rover on Mars.
That's cool. I was gonna say like space shuttles or like space stations or something. So that makes sense.
I mean, then there is a UFO too.
That's okay. Cool. Never mind. They already did it. Yeah, that game rules.
Power Wash Simulator.
Speaking of simulators, this one, I wouldn't say it makes my list, but I bought it with some store credit recently.
Yeah.
Goat Simulator 3.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking funny.
I have no doubt.
And it's definitely already held my attention more than the original, because that one was kind of just, I mean, there was stuff to do in it, but it felt like it was the kind of thing where you're like, you get in, you be goat, you be a dick,
yeah,
and then you get out. But this one, like, the activities are actually kind of varied and interesting. There's a lot of dialogue, spoken, cutscenes, story elements to it and stuff, which, at least when I played the first one, which was early on, didn't have any of that kind of shit.
And for the record, there is no second one.
Right. Sorry.
They skipped.
That's part of their
right
whole
to
joke.
The third.
They're leaning into like the, like they even for the logo that comes up for the title card.
Yeah.
It says Coffee Stain North, like Rockstar North. So they're leaning into the whole Grand Theft Auto kind of thing. Like it's, they're making it a joke.
Right.
You can drive in this one. You can do, you literally are a goat that can skateboard. There's a skin you can unlock named Tony Shark. It's a hammerhead shark on a skateboard.
That's awesome.
You can get jetpacks, which was in the first one. But yeah, it's just goofy as hell. Not on my list of best ofs, but it's pretty good.
Okay.
Also, real quick, totally unrelated. I just was considering this before. With off-road vehicles being, you know, four-wheeler, three-wheeler, they refer to them as the number of tires. Why isn't a motorcycle a two-wheeler? Me and my buddies go two-wheeling. I mean, I know bicycle is the other term, but why not have a two-wheeler?
Because it's a Harley. It's a chopper.
Okay.
That's why. It doesn't sound hard enough.
I go two-wheeling.
Two-wheeling doesn't sound hard enough.
And then my brain went in the other direction, too. If it's based on the number of tires, then a train should be called a motorpede.
Yeah. I love that.
Motorpede.
Motorpede. Yeah, add that to the compendium.
I'm sorry. Totally unrelated. It's just a thought I had earlier.
Rollerdrome.
I still need to get that.
Yeah, it's so good. Did I talk about that one already? I think I did.
A bit, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's like Tony Hawk on roller skates and like a...
But like a cool 70s action flick style.
Yeah, like line drawings, like a fucking, I don't know.
Like a comic book.
Yeah, kind of. But yeah, you do tricks, you shoot guns, like Tony Hawk, but with guns and roller skates. And it's, and dystopian future with a cool soundtrack. Rollerdrome.
Another one that had amazing graphics. And we talked about this one.
The Quarry.
The Quarry. Yeah. I played that on the Series S.
Yeah.
And it looked great. So I'm wondering just how much better it could have looked on the PS5. You played it on PC. Would you say it compares to Callisto or not quite? It does?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely up there, like in that same...
It's also just a really like cool environment to be in because it's like a, you know, campground, woods.
Yeah.
It's just pretty to look at.
Yeah.
It's not all blood and guts and dark hallways.
Right. Steel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that
game. Me too. That's on my list too.
Same. Of course, results may vary in terms of story. So it's not like you can, there are certain plot points you can spoil, but I will just say that I was cruising, doing good. Most of my dudes were alive. And then I fucked it up hard at the end. Lost like everyone.
Yeah.
And
yep,
so too. I think I'm going to replay that one at some point. But I might wait until I can get it like real cheap on the PS5, even though I own it on the Xbox, just to see how much better it might look.
Mm-hmm.
Like once it's older and I can get it for like $20 or less.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm surprised there's no... Well, I guess it had... I guess no matter how they cut it, the ending's probably pretty resolute. So I guess there is no opening for DLC.
No, I mean, I could see them expanding on that, you know, that family.
Just that. Well, even with the family, did you finish?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Cause you can get it. You can get an ending where they're gone.
Right. I know.
So they'd have unless to, they did a prequel kind of thing.
Right. Or,
but they didn't do that for Until Dawn. They didn't do any DLC for that.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if they've done any DLC.
No, because all their other games are sort of like episodic anyway, in a sense, not each one's anthology. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, right.
It's like mini short experiences, but definitely looking forward to whatever they do next. They're always fun. Another one I played that was in the PlayStation library that I liked a lot and I finished last week was Stray. I give that one high marks for art direction. It's the cat game.
Okay, yeah.
I know some people have no interest in it because of that, and some people have all the interest in it because of that. So
it's good.
I really enjoyed it. It's just a fun little adventure game with really unique art design and aesthetics.
Yeah.
And it's got its own meow button.
Right.
There's a trophy for meowing 100 times. I got that shit in less than a half hour, and I felt embarrassed. Like, I just couldn't stop pushing the button. I was just like, meow, 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 meow. And like everywhere I went, it just popped up. I was like, oh, fuck, I bet you're supposed to get that way later in the game.
It's like you can't not hit. Like it's
like rolling for me in Zelda. Like if I'm in a big open field, I'm rolling. I don't run. I roll.
I was going to say everywhere. You would have been bunny hopping in Counter-Strike.
Oh, yeah, probably. I did that in Halo. I did. I double jumped in Halo everywhere I went.
Yeah.
I just impulsively was just like, gotta jump, gotta jump.
Oh, yeah. Soulstone Survivors is on mine as well.
Oh, that's right.
Which is kind of like a clone of Vampire Survivors in a way, but a lot more in-depth. There's like more skill trees and characters and a lot more going on.
Yeah. Did we talk about that last stuff. Time?
Yeah, we did. So that's
just like Vampire Survivors Plus.
Right.
In a way.
Right. It's awesome.
The only other thing that I had I had initially kind of put it down as an honorable mention along with Stray, and I haven't finished it, but I got pretty far into it, was Signalis, which I mentioned briefly last episode. It was something on Game Pass that,
It's
kind of a isometric homage to the gameplay of like early survival horror, like Resident Evil, Silent Hill.
Yeah, fixed camera angles,
mostly top-down, but somewhat tanky controls, but not like like Resident Evil where the perspective changes. So it doesn't throw you off or anything.
Yeah.
And just really cool aesthetic where it'll do these parts where it switches to first person, and it's got the whole aesthetic is very like Neon Genesis or Evangelion, mm-hmm. like that kind of anime.
Yeah.
Cool game if you like old school survival horror. I've had a lot of horror games on my list, and I looked at like the stack that I have to play. I just finished Callisto. I'm playing The Chant right now, which I haven't talked about before, but enjoying that. I've got finally Resident Evil 8 Village. I picked that up. I'm going to play that soon. 2 years later. Did that come out last year? Maybe 2 years March or something. Yeah, so finally getting around to that one. Yeah, and then Dying Light, like just lots of horror style games I've had lately. A lot of
death and gore and
what a big boy blood games.
Right.
Just for boys.
Well, my last one is V Rising.
I forgot about that game.
Yeah. Loved it. I played a lot of that. That's a top down survival vampire game.
Did it ever come out of early access, or is it still
chugging? It's still in early access. Still chugging. So that'll just keep getting better, I'm sure. Building castles and sucking dudes off. You know. Well, so what's coming out soon? Well, what's coming out this coming year?
Well,
Dead Space remake.
Dead Space is the first. Well, for January.
Another fucking remake, but this time I want to play it.
I want to play it for sure. That and then, but the other one is Forspoken.
Oh yeah,
which is a pretty big one. I tried the demo, and I'm certainly intrigued by it. I feel,
is it Squeenix?
It is.
Yeah,
Squeenix. I don't know which internal team or if it's like, you know, an external that they're publishing like they do sometimes.
Right. I don't know.
I know it runs on a variation of the same engine as Final Fantasy 15.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like super enhanced and looks real nice.
Yeah.
But the demo was pretty cool, so I'm looking forward to it. The only thing I feel like the demo did a disservice to was that it didn't play any of the story intro. It just kind of put you in. And so I had trouble kind of connecting to like what I was even doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I know they show some of that in the trailers, but even if they're not going to have you start the beginning of the game, maybe the opening, like a portion of the opening cinematic or like
some context,
any kind of, yeah, like setting scenario information.
Right.
I think it should have been in there because you just kind of are like there. It doesn't really tell you much.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the two big ones for next month. And then I don't know what's going on much after that in terms of hard release dates, just kind of windows for things. Like, I don't know if there's anything announced for February. Huh. There probably is, and I'm forgetting because a lot of stuff that got delayed is finally coming out.
Right.
Like, yeah. I think maybe Atomic Heart is coming out.
Yeah.
Sometime in the first 3 months.
Yeah, I think that's February. I think that was in the...
I hope. The other one is supposed to be Redfall. That's the one
that never got like a real date though, right?
No, it got pushed. It was supposed to come out holiday of this year.
Right, but after pushing it, could they give it an actual date?
I thought they did. Or at least a window, at the very least. It's supposed to be before spring.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
Atomic Heart is February 23rd.
23rd.
February 21st.
Redfall. That's the one that's from Arcane.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that.
And it runs on Unreal Engine 5.
Oh.
So it should look real nice on PC, especially.
Yeah.
And it's set in like a town in Massachusetts. It's supposed to be like Salem because vampire.
Right.
Or not, no. Salem is witch. Where is vampire? Transylvania. Why is it set in Massachusetts?
Salem.
Because Salem.
Yeah. Salem's a lot.
Spooky. Is Manchester considered the spooky state?
Manchester?
Massachusetts? Holy shit. Is Massachusetts considered the spookiest state?
Yeah, yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Followed by Oregon.
Why Oregon? Because of the trail?
Yeah.
Yeah. Trails are spooky.
Because of Twin Peaks.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, a big like stuff like Final Fantasy 16, which I know you're super excited about.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
I'm gonna play that.
Very much
like a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah,
but it's got like they're bringing back the whole like kind of medieval
That's why I don't care.
Even less, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Because like I like the Final Fantasy VII remake. That was awesome. And then
the second part of that's coming out supposedly next year, but I don't think it will.
Yeah, and I do like some Final Fantasy games, but I'm just like, medieval high fantasy shit is over.
But what about like when the new Dragon Age comes out?
I'll play the fuck out of that game. That's okay.
I don't think that's coming anytime soon.
Well,
is that or Mass Effect supposed to come first? Probably Dragon Age.
I think Dragon Bioware. Age. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I heard there's a game coming out that's very highbrow,
mm-hmm.
and it's got a, kind of an art style. It looks almost like drawings and like very what's the word?
Darling.
It's an indie darling. Yeah,
yeah.
It's definitely an indie darling.
Charming.
It's charming. Right. It's very what's that?
Bespoke,
yes.
Bespoke.
It's a very bespoke looking.
It looks bespoke.
It looks like it twirls its mustache.
Simply bespoke.
It's got 18 cans of beard wax.
It's bespoke box, the game.
Yeah. It's called Merriam-Webster. You write the dictionary.
The history.
The history of the dictionary. The history of Merriam.
You know, Merriam...
Is two people?
Merriam
is it or is
Webster?
It
so Merriam's the guy, right?
Who's Webster?
Webster is his shadow version.
Oh,
so he has a shadow version that comes out, and that's the one that does the fighting.
It's like a Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing.
Yeah,
but so I didn't even know there was combat in this.
There's game. Tons of it.
Oh shit,
tons of it. It's
like a slasher.
It's like Devil May Cry.
But you're Merriam-Webster. Jekyll and Hyde style. It's an homage.
Webster comes out and Webster's got a chain. Webster's got a chain.
And parts of him are on fire.
Yeah.
Usually.
Right.
But
he's plasmatic.
Yeah. It's not always the same parts.
In nature. He comes out and he'll come out and say shit, like talk shit, and then go back inside of Merriam. So then Miriam's like, hey, come on. What the fuck, hey, man? It's and
I still gotta live my life.
Webster.
Why is it Chris Tucker?
I was just gonna. So Chris Tucker is it plays Merriam, and Webster is voiced by Mike Patton,
of course.
And it's the new game of the year.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's a front runner for GOTY 2023.
Yeah.
And I also
is there multiplayer?
DLC.
You can download Encyclopedia Brown.
Yeah. And I mean, they're going cosmetics for paid microtransactions. You can get Clippy.
Oh, fuck yeah.
To like put on your jacket, like a pin. You can get Bonzi Buddy as a weapon.
And Microsoft Sam.
Yep. And the end boss is the maze in Encarta.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there's a...
Because you go into Encarta and everyone's like, 95? I don't need my Merriam-Webster anymore.
95?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Merriam-Webster finds out that his work is being digitized in a better form. And this is pre-internet, really. So.
Right. So this came in one of those big CD cases.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, he goes into the Encarta. He digitizes himself.
Wow.
And he gets lost in the maze and you got to beat it.
That sounds awesome.
I'd play that.
I'd fuck with that.
Also, video game simulator.
Video game simulator.
Right. It's like it gives you.
So, wait, how many simulators? Two?
There's.
Video game simulator simulator?
Well, that's the thing. It's meta. You buy it, it's video game simulator. It's supposed to be like showing you what it's like to actually play a video game.
Right. VR?
It's got VR support for sure.
Right.
But you can, if you want to fuck with it on regular screen, you can.
On my phone?
But not on phones, not right away.
Okay.
But then there's a second layer where in video game simulator,
yeah,
there are simulators. So then you're playing simulations within simulations.
Okay.
Within simulations. And then you wake up and you're Keanu Reeves.
Holy shit.
All along.
Wow.
But you got goo. You're gooey.
You got a port in your neck?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you got jacked off from the Matrix?
Right.
Okay. All right. That's
I got jacked off by the Matrix. Is a jacked, funny song name.
Just jacked off by the Matrix. Yeah, the Matrix jacked me off. What did you use it for?
I mean, that's what most people use it for, I think.
To get jacked off.
That's what the robots are using the humans' energy for.
I know.
So that the robots can jack off.
Yeah. Robots got to jack off too.
How fucked up would that be if in the future when they're like fully autonomous sex worker robots, if they glitch and one, they look like human, but once they're running down the street, just check. Just compulsive. Just like,
there's like smoke coming out of its ears.
Man, if we get to that point where we have human-esque androids, when they glitch out, it'll be the funniest fucking internet trends to watch in compilations.
But what if you had an AI controlling a robot, and the robot just kept wanting to jack you off?
Oh, the other way around. It wasn't jerking itself off.
No. It's like it's going around your house,
and it's
once it's done cleaning, it's like, hi,
it nudges you,
hi, hey, put it in my hand. Put it in my hand. Hey. Put it in my hand.
It hucks a dookie on it first?
Yeah, shoots its liquid on its hand so it can jack you off.
Oh, so it spits like KY?
Yeah.
I mean, wow, that's one hell of a simulator.
That's the future.
Oh, shit. But yeah, back to the other stuff. My stack, I got Ratchet and Clank in there.
Mm-hmm.
I got the New Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned I'm playing The Chant. I'll have more to say on that once I finish it next time. Mm-hmm. The Dying Light I mentioned that playing Evil. That. Resident Evil 8. Ghostwire Tokyo. I'm real excited to play that.
Yeah.
I got like 10 things. Oh, yeah. Goat Simulator I mentioned. I bought Godfall. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but it was cheap.
$10?
$15. I had store credit.
Whatever.
So, yeah, I've got my work cut out for me.
Yeah, I'll just be playing Midnight Suns until I'm dead. I guess that's it.
Sweet.
So we'll see a little
later. I would imagine by the end of January.
Yeah, sure. Another month or so. Maybe we'll see.
Which could mean that maybe Dead Space will be on the menu.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Could be on the menu.
Cooking up some Necromorph. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Necromorph, yeah. Okay, well, cool. Thanks for listening to our goaties. Bye-bye.
See you.